So we've taken a big jump since last week's reading. Last week, Jacob had received the family blessing from God. Now, God is speaking to Moses, and the people of Israel are in Egypt. Best summary I can give you, rent, download, stream the movie Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Tells pretty much the whole story between last week and today, and there's lots of singing and dancing. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon the Israelites. God took notice of them. The people of Israel, Jacob's sons, went into Egypt. They left the land that they had been given, the land promised to them. When they went there under Joseph, who worked for Pharaoh, they were protected. But now that Joseph is dead and there's a new Pharaoh, they've been enslaved and are being mistreated. They suffer, and God knows, and God wants to act, and God will act and will send someone for them. God sees Moses, who has fled from Egypt because he killed an Egyptian who was beating an Israelite slave. And God calls to Moses from the burning bush and gives him this task. And Moses knows that things are not going well for the people of Israel while in Egypt. But Moses is reluctant to do anything about it. This is a typical call story in the Bible. A call story is when God calls someone. It usually begins with God calling their name, Moses, Moses. And they answer, here I am. Then God tells them what God wants them to do. And they respond with a list of excuses or conditions or questions. See, nobody wants to be called to serve God. Moses has a whole list of excuses. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Or why me? If I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God, who are you? Oh, my Lord, I've never been eloquent. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. I'm not good enough. Oh, my Lord, please send somebody else. I just don't want to do this. God rebuts all of Moses' excuses and concerns. I will be with you all the time. The God who created the world and the God of your ancestors will be with you, will help you. I'll give you the ability you need. I will have others help you. Traditionally, in a call story, the excuses are the last two. I don't have the ability, I'm not good enough. Or I don't want to. Very few people tell God, I don't want to do it. They just don't do it. That's how Jonah wound up in the whale. Instead of going into the desert, he got on a boat going the other way. Most of the time, people are saying, I'm not good enough. I don't have the skills. And the thing is, God never calls people who have the skills to do what God wants them to do. God doesn't care if you have the skills. God cares if you have the will. Because if you don't have the skills, if you don't have the ability, if you don't have what you need, God will provide. God will give you what you need to get the work of God done if you're willing to do it. God equips those whom God calls. God doesn't call the equipped, God provides. God provides the skills you need, God finds a way. If you're willing to answer God's call, God will give you what you need. Now, it may come in a totally unexpected way. It may not be what you were expecting, but it is what you need. You just have to be willing to do what God wants. You have to be willing when God points out a need, when God shows you people who are in trouble. The Israelites groaned and cried out. Their cry for help rose up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered. God looked upon them, and God took notice of them. The people of Israel were in trouble, and God was moved to help them, and God moved Moses and supported him in his work. Now, when God calls us to help people, are we willing to help? Or are we conflicted and compromised by loyalties and sympathies? Are we willing to listen when people groan and cry out for help? Are we willing to take them at face value when they groan and cry out for help? Are we willing to believe when people groan and cry out for help? Because if people are crying out for help, they're in dire circumstances. They're in need. They can't do it on their own. They need help. They need to know that their life matters. And I know that that's a loaded phrase, and I probably lost a few of you. But I used it intentionally. I'm going to use it again and again for throughout the rest of this talk. Because I'm not saying that their lives matter more. Nobody who's ever used the phrase, their lives matter, uses the word more at the end of it. We hear that. We think that they're claiming that their lives matter more. They're simply asking if their life matters at all. See, if you've been wronged, or you feel that you've been wronged, or abused, or persecuted, or mistreated, ignored, you have to wonder if your life matters when it continues over and over and over again. When you see it happening to your friends, to your loved ones, to people who you care about, and nothing changes, you have to wonder, does their life matter? And so you do what you need to do to address, to raise consciousness, to ask people, does my life matter? And so you march in the streets. You speak up. You speak out. You boycott. You protest. You tell anyone who will listen. You register to vote. You refuse to give up your seat on a bus. You throw tea into a harbor. You help people escape slavery. You sit at a lunch counter where you won't be served. You take a knee. You go on national television to to beg the president for help. When people groan and cry out, when they cry for help, can we admit that their lives matter? Not that they matter more, just that their life matters. Because if you admit that somebody's life matters and you realize that they are in help, that they need assistance, then you have nothing else to do, because you are a believer in Jesus Christ, saved by his death, forgiven out of grace and mercy, then you have no response but to act. If you're willing to believe that they are groaning and crying out for help and that their life matters, you have to decide, do Black lives matter? Do Puerto Rican lives matter? Do gay lives matter? Because those communities are groaning and crying out for help. Or will you have an excuse? I'm not good enough. I don't have the ability. I don't want to. I don't think their lives matter. Or do you say, here I am, Lord, I'll go.